Hi, folks. Bob Main with another episode of today's survival show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want and to strengthen your resolve. We make survival simple, not extreme. Welcome to episode 19 of today's survival show. Hopefully you enjoyed that little introduction song there. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow, Fleetwood Mac. You know, we can't stop thinking about tomorrow. We're all about preparation. And we're all about simple survival. We make survival simple, not extreme. And the reason I say that, if you're a first-time listener, I want you to know you've tuned in to the voice of reason in a chaotic world, because we try to make survivalism simple, not extreme. And what is survivalism? I've covered this in some other episodes that I've recorded, but I want to cover it again. Self-sufficient, secure living. It's what we were meant to do, folks. It's what our ancestors did many, many years ago. They learned to live off the land. They learned to make things on their own. They learned to fix things. They built their own houses. They built their own life, and they built it from scratch, a lot of them. And a lot of our ancestors came from other countries, and they came here, and they settled, and they bought a piece of property, they called it a homestead, they made it their own, and that was their life. And it was the opportunity here in America that they took advantage of, and that's the way that they used to live. Well, what happened? What happened is modern technology and modern systems of delivery, and when I say modern systems of delivery, I mean systems of food delivery and power and water. It has created what I believe a dependent society, and I think largely it's due to our government. Our government wants us to become a dependent society, and they want us to be dependent on them because then they have control. And make no mistake about it, folks, that's what it's all about. It's all about control. The government wants to control what you do, and there's a lot of ways they can do that. They can do that through taxation. They can do that by regulating and controlling the way you get your food. They can do that by regulating and controlling how you get your water and your fuel for your cars, and even your ammunition for your firearms. So what survivalism and what modern self-sufficiency is about, in my opinion, is trying to break free from some of that. And I'll tell you, folks, if you're listening for the first time and you're checking this out, I want you to hear something. You're listening to a way of life, and you're listening to something that really, they're not going to come out and say it, but the government doesn't want you to do. They don't want you to become independent. If you become independent, they lose control. But you know, I think it was John F. Kennedy that said, if we don't allow a peaceful revolution, we're going to end up having a violent revolution. And I will post President Kennedy's remarks. I'll find the exact quote, and I'll put that in the show notes. But they don't want you to become independent. And President Kennedy was right about that. We need to have a peaceful revolution, and that's what I think needs to happen today. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. Episode 19, as I mentioned, and we're going to have a little fun today. But what I want to do is I want to make a couple of announcements first, and then we'll dive right into the main topic. I'm having the pleasure of recording this, by the way, on Saturday, and I believe this is September 18th or 19th, anyway, it's Saturday, and you may not be able to hear this until later today, or maybe even Sunday. I'm not sure when I'm going to get a chance to post this, but a couple of announcements. If you haven't joined our forum, join our forum at todayssurvival.com/forum, or you can just go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum page, and it'll get you to where you want to go. The other announcement that I want to make is that we do have some very loyal sponsors. And these sponsors have made a great effort to support today's survival show, and I'd like you to support them. One of them I just did some business with, and I'm real excited to get my product, and that's Knives and Gear, knivesandgear.com. Folks, you know, a good knife is essential to anyone's survival and emergency kit. So check out Knives and Gear, and then the other sponsor, of course, is Personal Senior Monitoring. There's a couple of other sponsors that have contacted me, and they're probably going to be coming on board in about a week or so, but I won't say too much about that right now. I'll just wait till it happens, and I'll talk about it. But don't forget about Knives and Gear and Personal Senior Monitoring, and there'll be links in the show notes to both of those companies as well. So with that said, let's go ahead and dive right into the main topic. Mouse guns. Sounds kind of funny, right? Mouse guns. You know, the last episode that I recorded was about self-defense without a gun. And I did that show because there's quite a few listeners that, for various reasons, don't carry weapons. Either they live in a state or a country that does not allow it, or perhaps maybe personal preference, they don't wish to carry a firearm for personal protection. And so I did that show for those folks. Now, if you're one of those listeners, keep listening today, because there may be a time where you might move, and you might move to an area where to a more friendly firearm state or country. And some of this information that I'm going to cover, I think you still might benefit from anyway. And, you know, things could change. So let's talk about mouse guns. For those of you who are firearms enthusiasts and believe in your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, what is a mouse gun? I'm not really sure why it got that name. I'm going to have to look that up and see if I can post that in the show notes. But it's a small, tiny little pocket gun is what they typically describe as a mouse gun. I don't know, maybe because it's small and innocuous looking. Who knows? But that's the terminology that it seems to have been have taken on, which is mouse guns. I own one of them. Actually, I've owned several, but I'm down to one of them. And let's talk about the purpose of a mouse gun first. The purpose of it is for very, very, very deep concealment. Basically, when you can't carry anything larger because you're afraid of what's called printing. Printing is when people can tell that you're carrying a gun. And I did an episode on the difference between carrying concealed and carrying covert. I think it was episode 9, but you'd have to go back and you'd have to check because I've lost my memory on that. But anyway, that was a very popular, in fact, it's been my most popular and most listened to episode of all the survival shows that I've recorded so far. The difference between carrying concealed and carrying covert. Well, I talked a lot about not printing, not letting people see that you're carrying a firearm. That is so, so important, folks. That's, first of all, it's the law. And a lot of people just can't carry a gun the size of a Glock 19, for example, or the size of a full-size 1911, or a full-size Beretta. You may own a gun like that, but you might not be able to comfortably and very discreetly carry that. And I'm a firm believer in being armed, you know, whenever you can. A mouse gun is better than no gun, folks. Let's not forget rule number one. And if you get on the internet and you go to firearms websites, you're going to see this posted all over the place. You're going to see rule number one of a gunfight. Well, you know, first of all, I'm not saying go out and find yourself a gunfight to get into. All right, that's ludicrous. You know, you want to avoid conflict, and you want to avoid danger at all costs, like I mentioned in the last episode. But folks, let's face it, sometimes danger comes to you, and you can't change that. it's better to be armed than not to be armed. And the full-size guns are great. I mean, they're fun. You know, a full-size 1911 is just a lot of fun to shoot. A full-size Glock is a lot of fun to shoot. A full-size Springfield XD in 9mm or 40, they're just a lot of fun to shoot. They're fun to take to the range. I'm taking one to the range right now as I go to shoot an IDPA match. IDPA, International Defensive Pistol Association. It's good practice. You know, it's not... There's some realistic self-defense scenarios, but it's just a great way to go out and practice drawing and firing your weapon and firing on the move and firing at moving targets. It's very good practice. If there's a local IDPA shooting league in your area, I would say go to one and practice, and go to several of them. You don't have to be a member of the club. It's open to the public. There's a small fee that they're going to charge. I think it's normally like around $14 or $15, but go to an IDPA match if you're a firearms owner and you want to get a little bit better with your handgun. And also, I highly recommend after you've gone to a couple of IDPA matches and you've learned how to handle your weapon and you've learned how to safely shoot it and you've learned how to safely draw it and use it, take a defensive pistol course. It's some of the best money you will ever spend. And I'm getting a little off track, but I'm going to go ahead and finish my thought pattern here. Take a defensive pistol course. Now, there's a couple that I recommend highly. One of them is anything taught by a company called Suarez International. Gabe Suarez, the founder of Suarez International. I will put a link to their training classes on the show posting. But anything that is taught in your area by Suarez International, I have taken their defensive pistol course, and I got to get to their course called Close Range Gunfighting. And again, I know that sounds kind of extreme, right? Close range gunfighting. They will teach you how to deal with staying alive if someone's trying to attack you. And that's what they're going to teach you, how to stay alive. And folks, that's what all this is about. You know, those of us who carry guns, you know, we sure get a bad rap. You know, people think, oh, you guys carry guns, you're killers. No, we're not. We don't want to shoot people, folks. We don't want to do that. We just want to stay alive. We have a right to do that. And that's what you'll learn in these training courses. Another good course to take is anything taught by Tactical Response. They've got a course called Fighting Pistol if you're a handgun owner. They've got Fighting Rifle. They've got Fighting Shotgun. So if you want to learn how to use your shotguns, rifles, or your pistols better, I will put a link to Tactical Response in the show posting as well. Any of those kinds of courses where you're actually learning combat training should be the next step. But anyway, the full-size handguns are fun to shoot. They're fun to go to the range and practice with. They're fun to go to IDPA matches, but they're not always that fun to carry. So back to mouse guns. Well, what caliber do they come in? Well, first of all, most of the mouse guns that you see out there on today's market are either 380 caliber or 32 caliber. You see some that are 22 caliber, but most of them are 380 ACP or 32 ACP. Now, most of these mouse guns, most of these small guns, they usually weigh 8 ounces, 9 ounces, 10 ounces empty. And what's really cool about them is you can buy what's called a pocket holster. Now, the pocket holster that I use for my mouse gun is what's called a DeSantis Nemesis. Strange name, but DeSantis Nemesis. I'm going to put a link to the DeSantis Nemesis in the show posting as well. What's nice about it is it covers up the outline of the gun, so it doesn't look like a gun when it's in your pocket. For example, if I carry it in the front pocket of my when I'm wearing Levi's jeans, and I put that little pistol I mean, and folks, let me tell you what, that pistol's smaller than my hand. The actual size of the gun is smaller than my hand. All right, I'll also put, in fact, here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll do when I post this show. I will actually put a picture of me holding my mouse gun, my Car Arms P380, in my hand. All right, I'll take a picture of that and I'll put it on the show posting, and I'll also put it in the forum, and you'll be able to see how small it is. Okay, it's smaller than my hand. Well, when that is in the pocket holster, and it's inside my pocket, it looks like a huge cell phone. It looks like a wallet. No one would ever, ever know that I'm carrying. And one of the nice things about most good pocket holsters is that they are designed to stay inside your pocket. So when you put your hand in your pocket to pull your gun, if you have to pull your gun, and again, that's the last resort, but if you reach in your hand into your pocket and you pull your gun, the holster is going to stay in the pocket. Only the gun's going to come out. I'm serious. How do they do that? Well, if you look at the design of most pocket holsters, most of them have a little lip at the bottom of the holster. They have a little lip, and that little lip is designed to catch the inside of your pocket. And so it catches the inside of your pocket, so it stays put, only the gun comes out. And the gun slides in and out of the pocket holster fairly easily. But because it's in your pocket, you also have good weapon retention. So it's the, you know, your weapon is not going to come flying out at any time unexpectedly. And pocket holsters normally are also made of a pretty sticky material on the outside so that it sticks to the inside of your pocket. They design it that way on purpose. I've also used Uncle Mike's holsters. If you're looking for an inexpensive, I think for like, you know, $14-15, you can pick up an Uncle Mike's pocket holster. I'll give you a link to that. The DeSantis Nemesis, I think, is only around $30. And there's a lot of good leather manufacturers. Galco makes a real good one, and there's a lot of good customized leather pocket holsters where they'll customize it to your gun perfectly, and you know, you get what you pay for. You know, if you get a nice good leather pocket holster by some good pocket holster makers out there, they all stay in the pocket very well, and only your gun comes out. Well, the nice thing is, like I said, it looks like you're carrying a cell phone. And in the summertime, if I'm wearing cargo shorts and I've got real big pockets, you can't even see that there's anything in my pocket, folks. Nothing. When I'm wearing Levi's jeans, you can see that there's something in there, but nobody expects it, folks. You know, 99.5% of Americans out there are not looking around to see if you're carrying a weapon on you. And again, I'm a very, very firm believer in the element of surprise. And I know I've had some people disagree with me on that. And it's okay to disagree, you know, since I'm on this subject. I like dissent. Dissent is fine. In fact, dissent, it fodders good conversation. So if you have a disagreement with something that I say on any of my shows, get on the forum or get on the blog and go ahead and post it. But I'm a big believer in the element of surprise. If someone's attacking you and they don't think you're armed, and all of a sudden you reach in your pocket and you yank out a little mouse gun, uh-oh, now you're armed. Okay, most of these criminals are going to freak out. Most of them are going to leave. I'm telling you, most of them are cowards. Now, if they're not cowards and they continue to attack, you better be ready to use that mouse gun. But back to the calibers. 380, 32 ACP are common. What is 380? For some of you that are kind of new to this, 380 caliber is actually, if you do some research, you'll find out, it's actually the same as a same diameter as a 9mm. Okay, now the key word I said there is the same diameter of a 9mm. It is not the same power or the same cartridge size as a 9mm, but 380 also has been called a 9mm short or also a 9mm Kurtz. As a matter of fact, I've actually, by accident, I've actually shot a 380 round out of my 9mm handgun. I shouldn't have done that. Again, it was accident. I don't recommend it. I'm going to put a disclaimer on this right now. I don't recommend you sticking a 380 cartridge in your 9mm handgun. But I did that once at a range by accident. The gun fired, and it fired safely. Now, there's not enough power in a 380 round to cycle the action of a 9mm handgun, because the 9mm handgun is expecting a much more powerful round to cycle that action. So I got one shot off, and then, you know, it jammed, and I couldn't figure out why. And then finally, once I cleared the jam, I thought, oh, okay, here's why. Bob, you stupid idiot, you put a 380 in there. But it's the same diameter, folks. Look it up, and you'll see the proof of that. Now, a lot of people really put down the 380, and they say it's not very powerful. Well, these mouse guns that you carry, folks, are really not meant for power. What they're meant for is when you simply can't carry anything else, but you want to stay armed. You know, I made a joke a couple of episodes ago about you might be a survivalist if you carry knives and first aid kits and firearms and things to church on Sunday. Well, these little mouse guns, think about that. If they look like you got a wallet in your pocket, they're kind of cool if you're going to be carrying in discreet places, like if you're going to be at a church or whatever. Now, I understand that there's some states that don't allow carrying in places of worship. So, again, let me say, know your state laws about carrying a firearm. I'm going to leave that up to you. You know, don't go getting yourself arrested because, you know, Bob Main on today's Survival Show said you can carry your gun to church. You better know whether you can or whether you cannot. But I'm using this as an example. And the 380 caliber, again, they're made fun of, but they're not meant for power. But since we're talking about power, you'd be surprised. These mouse guns are actually a lot more effective than you might think. And I'm going to give you some ballistics here. Just I'm going to talk a little bit about this, because as I'm driving to the shooting match I'm going to, I'm holding two boxes of ammo in my right hand. One box of ammo is the round that I carry in my mouse gun. And again, my mouse gun is a Carr P380. Carr. Not as in car, like the car that you drive. Carr Arms, which is K-A-H-R. I'll put a link. Well, like I said, I'm going to put a picture, but I'll also put a link to Carr Arms. And they're great. I think they're an excellent, excellent manufacturer of firearms. They're very underrated. They're kind of Glockish. There's a lot of differences between a Carr and a Glock, but for people who shoot Glocks, they can adapt. You can adapt to Carrs very well. And what I like about all the Carr Arms pistols, they're all single stack, which means, excuse me, folks, it means that single stack means that the bullets are stacked singly on top of each other. Most Glocks, all but one that I can think of, are double stack, which means that when you put the rounds in the magazine, they're stacked side by side, and they're stacked up side by side, which means it's a double stack pistol. Most high capacity pistols are double stack. A conventional 1911, a 1911 45, that's a single stack gun. Those bullets are stacked on top of each other. Well, Carr makes very nice, thin, single stack pistols. They're very accurate. I was at the range with a friend of mine shooting my Carr Arms P380, and we were both shocked. When I first got it, we were both shocked at the accuracy of this little thing. And I'm telling you, accuracy, folks, is vitally, vitally important. Accuracy is more important than anything else. Can you shoot the gun accurate? Okay, so back to ballistics. On the box, of the round I carry, and the round I carry in my Car Arms P380 is Corban DPX. I'm a firm believer in anything made by Corban DPX. Now, there's another manufacturer of ammunition that I'm checking out, and the manufacturer's name is RBCD. And it's supposed to be some pretty good ammo. It's blended metal bullets, and they've got some pretty cool ballistics. I'm checking them out. I've got a few friends of mine, some of them are on the forum, that have opened my eyes towards RBCD ammo. But I can't say anything bad about Corban DPX. DPX means deep, penetrating, and it's a Barnes X type of bullet. I'll let you do some research. I'll put a link on that as well. But Corban DPX, it's a good hollow point solid copper bullet. Here's the ballistics. This little 380 round comes out of the pistol at 1,050 feet per second, and it generates 196 foot-pounds of energy. That's right off the box. Okay, 1,050 feet per second, and it's hitting with 196 foot-pounds of energy. Now, a conventional 9mm is about, oh, I'd say 1,150 feet per second, and maybe 220 foot-pounds or 280 foot-pounds, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, again, remember I mentioned that it's the same diameter, and if you're using a good 380 round, you've got almost as much power as a conventional 9mm. Now, I'm also holding another box of ammo, which is the 9mm round that I carry. And that's 9mm Corban DPX. That's 1,250 feet per second and 399 foot-pounds. Okay, so it's twice the foot-pounds. But the velocity is not much different. And velocity is very important, folks, because, you know, if you've got good velocity, you're generally going to get good expansion if you have a good bullet design. But my point here is there's nothing wrong with a 380 that's doing 1,050 feet per second and 196 foot-pounds. Now, for some of you who are new, you might be confused, and maybe you're going, what is this guy talking about? You know, I don't understand all this terminology. All I know is that my gun fires a bullet. Don't worry about all this terminology. Eventually, some of this is going to make sense. And if you are an experienced firearms person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's not bad. And folks, like I said, you know, the gun you have in your pocket is better than the 45 you left at home. I mean, you think about that. What's the best, you know, you can get on the internet and you can Google what's the best firearm to carry, and you'll probably get 3,000 pages of stuff to look at. And when I first started carrying a firearm for self-defense, I read something, I can't remember where it was that I read, but somebody put a post on a forum which was pretty interesting. Their response to what is the best firearm to have, his response was, whatever's in your hand when the fighting starts. And think about it. The guy was right. The best firearm to have is whatever is in your hand when the fighting starts. A gun is better than no gun. Now, if you don't have a gun, you know, go back and listen to episode 18. I think there's some good information that I put on in that episode about what to do if you don't have a firearm. But don't underestimate these little pocket guns. My Car P380 holds 7 rounds, 6 in the magazine, and then, of course, 1 in the chamber. So 7 rounds. Let me tell you what, if I've got a couple of attackers and I pop each one of them 3 or 4 times with Corban DPX 380 going 1,050 feet per second and hitting with a good enough smack, I think they're going to have a bad day. And they're probably going to leave me alone. And it gives me the ability to have something on me in case I have to defend myself, which is one of the most important things. Now, another brand of mouse guns, there's a manufacturer called Kel-Tec. K-E-L-T-E-C. Kel-Tec is, they're not bad. I've read mixed reviews on them. They're very inexpensive. For less than about $300, you can get a Kel-Tec 380 or a Kel-Tec 32 mouse gun. Same thing. Fits in a pocket holster, looks like a wallet, looks like a large cell phone in your pocket. Nobody would ever know. There's another, let's see, what's some of the others out there? Well, actually, Beretta makes a real small mouse gun called a Tomcat. Another one out there, Ruger. Ruger just hit the scene recently, I think about a year ago or so. They came out with the Ruger LCP, and that stands for Lightweight Compact Pistol. And that's a 380 caliber. So 380 is real popular in the mouse gun category because, like I said, in the mouse gun category, it's probably the most powerful of all the mouse guns. It's about as close as you're going to get to a 9mm in a small package like that. So check out Ruger's. I think those are like around $300 if you shop around brand new, and if you can pick up a used one, you can probably get one for a little bit less than that. And you may also want to check out another one called North American Arms, NAA. They make some pretty good mouse guns as well, and I'll put some links in the show posting about those as well. All of them, like I said, good pocket holsters for them. Now, another gun that is kind of halfway between a mouse gun and a regular concealed carry that I just absolutely love, and I own one of these also, is a Car Arms PM9. PM9. Some people consider it a mouse gun. Why? Because it's very small. It's a pocket size 9mm. I also have a couple of good pocket holsters for that. It's larger. It's about 13 or 14 ounces, and it's larger. And that one pretty much fills up my hand if I were to lay that on the palm of my hand. But still, it's small enough that I can stick that in the pocket. If I'm wearing shorts or pants with large enough pockets, I can put that in there, and nobody knows what it is. And that's a 9mm. That's a regular 9mm Luger caliber. So then I'm getting the ballistics of 1,250 feet per second, 399 foot-pounds, a good Corban DPX round in that gun is probably going to do the job pretty well. They also, Car Arms also makes that in a 40 caliber. For those of you who are 40 caliber enthusiasts, they make a PM40. They actually make a PM45 now as well. That's a little bit large for the pocket. I suppose there's some people out there, and chime in on the forum or chime in comments on this podcast, if you carry a PM45 in your pocket, let us know how it's working out for you. I think it's kind of big, but, and I've heard people claim, oh man, I can put my Glock 19 in my pocket. You really? Okay. I own two Glock 19s. I can't conceal those in any of the pockets that I own very well without printing. So I'm very skeptical when people say stuff like I put my Glock 19 in my pocket. Glock 26s, that's pocketable. I've seen some people put that in their pocket. But anyway, Car Arms PM9. That's also, I guess you could call it, a cross between a mouse gun and a regular concealed carry. What I like about that is that's so versatile. Just by changing out a magazine, I can put a magazine in there with an extension on it, and now I have a gun that feels more like a midsize firearm, and I can belt carry it. Matter of fact, it's on my belt right now as I head to the shooting range, because I am always armed, and I'm using the extended magazine so that if I have to draw it from my belt for any reason, it feels like more like a mid-size or close to a mid-size firearm. And then all I got to do is pull that magazine out, stick a shorter magazine in there, and I've got a nice little pocketable 9mm pistol. So also check out the Car Arms PM9. Kel-Tec also makes, I think, what's called a PF 9, and that's a small little 9mm. I don't know what your budget is, but there's also another manufacturer out there called Rohrbaugh. They make a pretty, I tell you what, it's very expensive, but it appears to be very high quality. I've never shot one, but I've seen them. And it appears to be a very, very high quality pocketable 9mm. A lot of money though, close to $1,000. I think you can get just as of an effective pocketable 9mm going with Carr or Kel-Tec or some of the other manufacturers. But Rohrbaugh is out there. It's another one you might want to check with or check on. But let's wrap up mouse guns. The whole point of these, and they're becoming very, very popular. The last time I was at a range, I saw a military guy there. He was buying one because he said, I need something to keep in my back pocket. And, you know, a lot of police officers use mouse guns as backup guns. And, you know, if for some reason they don't have access to their service weapon, the mouse gun is a backup gun. So if it's good enough for a police officer's backup gun, I'd say it's good enough for me, too. Again, I can't stress this point strongly enough. A mouse gun is so that you can be armed when for some reason, whatever it is, you cannot be armed with anything else. So with that, let's conclude this mouse gun segment, and I hope I've given you some good information to think about on that. Now, the next topic that I want to cover, it's going to be very brief, and then we'll bring the show to a close, but I would like to say that I think it's important, folks, if you are serious about survival, self-sufficiency, living an independent life, that you stay active in organizations that help you protect your rights. I'm not talking about politics here. I'm just talking about your right to be involved in organizations that protect your rights. Men and women have fought wars. Men and women have died on battlefields to protect the rights that we have. Use them. Join the NRA. If you're not a member of the NRA, budget $35. What can you do without for 1 month? So you can scrape up $35 and become a member of the NRA. I don't care if you have to save $10 a month for 3.5 months, and when you save it up, send them a check for $35. Don't put it on a credit card. You're not a survivor if you're using credit. So save up the money. If you have to wait a few months before you can join the NRA, if you can't afford $35 right now and you got to wait a few months or whatever, wait, but save up the money so you can write them a check, pay cash for your membership. These people are protecting your rights to keep and bear arms. You may not agree with everything that the NRA does, you know, but who agrees with everything anybody does? But they're protecting your rights. Gun Owners of America, IDPA, USPSA. Those are all excellent clubs and organizations and lobbying organizations that help protect your rights. You know, I got to tell you, it's my firm belief, without the NRA, I don't think that you would see so many states that are as friendly as they are to towards concealed carry and gun ownership. They have, they have done a very, very, very good job of advancing the cause of the right to keep and bear arms. So I don't work for the NRA in any way. I've been an NRA member now. This is my fifth straight year, and also IDPA. This is my fourth year. Anything that you can do to, you know, I mean, how do you preserve a right? One of the best ways to preserve a right is get as many people as possible using that right. The more people that become members of organizations that protect our rights, the harder it's going to be for the government to take those rights away. It's power in numbers, ladies and gentlemen. So join the numbers and get involved in those organizations. And I'm telling you, if you're really serious and you're concerned about this, and there's a lot of other organizations out there that protect rights as well, in some future shows coming up, I'm going to talk about that. So that, you know, let's go ahead and bring this episode to a close. I've got some fun stuff coming up for episode 20, but I'm getting very close to the shooting range. So hopefully you've got some good information about if you're considering maybe getting a mouse gun or getting something a little bit easier for you to hide and conceal, but always available for whatever might come your way. Thank you for listening to episode 19. This is Bob Main. This is today's survival show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want to live and to strengthen your resolve. We make survival simple, not extreme. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.